It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. The American manufacturing giant 3M, the inventor of Post-it notes, it operates four plants in Wisconsin communities. A piece in the Wall Street Journal digs into 3M's challenges to create new products and the effects of phasing out PFAS chemicals in its manufacturing processes. You can be part of the discussion. Call in with a question. Bring your comments at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. John Kyleman covers U.S. manufacturing for the Wall Street Journal's Chicago Bureau. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yes, 3M, a $34 billion company, locations around the globe, including four here in Wisconsin. And you write 3M is in a dry spell. How so?
3M is a company that relies on a very broad array of products to make money, anything from sandpaper to N95 masks to air filters to all sorts of adhesives to Post-it notes, command strips, you name it, more than 55,000 different products. But they are in a continual race against not only their competitors, but sort of technological changes. And as their products become, as competitors catch up, as their products become more commoditized, they always have to come up with something new. And according to some investors and people who work at the company or who recently left the company, they are falling behind in that race.
So their products have to evolve. They have to create new ones at the same time. And that creates a lot of stress inside a company. You talked with, I think at the end of the piece, a retired scientist who told you 3M has all the resources they need to, I think the words were, to fight their way out of it. Can you explain that more, that sentiment? You know, what is it like inside 3M?
3M is going through a tough time. There's no doubt about it. And it's not solely because of sort of business challenges. There is a large overhanging shadow on the company that actually comes from one of their all-time most important innovations. And that was a group of chemicals commonly known as PFAS or forever chemicals that it helped develop back in the 1940s. And they are chemicals that go into all sorts of products, including anything from dental floss and pizza boxes to foam that's meant to put out fires. And sort of the key characteristic of these chemicals is that they are very heat resistant, very stain and water resistant. So they're good in waterproofing materials, or, you know, in the case of the foam, smothering fires. However, they're called forever chemicals for a reason, and that is because the bonds that are created between the fluorine and carbon molecules, or atoms, I'm sorry, are so strong that they basically don't degrade. And so once they're out in nature, they stay there forever. And there is a great deal of concern that these can cause health effects. And so 3M and other companies that make these chemicals and these firefighting foams in particular are being sued for billions and billions of dollars. And 3M, in fact, has already settled some of that litigation for up to a cost, what's going to cost them up to $12.5 billion. But there's much more to go.
In fact, this summer, 3M agreed to pay $10.3 billion to American cities and towns, including Wisconsin, over contaminated drinking water with toxic PFAS. So, you know, what is 3M's role in that litigation, in PFAS pollution, and how it affects their products now?
Well, they are being sued for the chemicals that they produced and for the firefighting foam that they produced. The heart of this current litigation is These firefighting foams were used all over, and once they, spray down a fire or even train with them, they would get into the soil or the groundwater and ultimately work their way into a drinking water plant. And to get them out of the water, it costs a great deal of money. Basically, I mean, the thing that's most commonly used are giant charcoal filters, almost like a king size version of a Brita filter that people have in their houses. But that's expensive. And so they were sued by, oh, I can't remember exactly how many, several hundred municipal water producers, saying, hey, your chemicals are in our plant and are in our water, and you need to pay to help us get them out. And so that's what the lawsuit that settled over the summer was all about. But there's still litigation hanging out there from state attorney generals and a lot of people who say that they suffered ill health effects because of PFAS. So that's what they still have to deal with.
What I wonder, and I'm sure, the courts will grapple with it as well, that did 3M know, did they know that this class of chemicals that they helped develop, as you said, in the 1940s, did they know they were dangerous when they put them in their products?
That is certainly being alleged by the people who are suing them. 3M, I should say. It is 3M's position that these chemicals can be made and used safely.
Well, is there a liability in their customers who bought their products and then perhaps used them in the wrong way or not following, 3M's manufacturer's directions? I mean, so that too is, I think, is a tension.
Well, another aspect of this is not just the firefighting foams, but the another, part of the litigation is, when products containing PFAS or the chemicals themselves are disposed of in landfills, that can create, when it rains, they call it leachate that can escape the landfill and get into groundwater and is another potential source of contamination.
We're talking about the global corporation 3M, the challenges ahead. We have Wall Street Journal reporter John Kyleman recently profiled the company. You can join in the conversation, calling in with your questions and comments, 800-642-1234. John, as of last year, 3M had more than 90,000 employees and at least hundreds here in Wisconsin. Is 3M in danger of closing any operations?
3M has, I think this year, announced 8,500 layoffs, and that goes with several other rounds of layoffs that have happened in recent years. They have not, as far as I know, announced any plans to shut down particular facilities, but that certainly is a danger when business conditions deteriorate.
I would imagine as well as when they wind down PFAS manufacturing, that too would impact your employee roles who are, the scientists no longer making those chemicals.
It could. They have said that PFAS accounts for, I think, 1.3 billion out of their roughly $34 billion in revenue. So it's not an enormous portion, but it's not nothing either. The chemicals are primarily made in, I believe, in three plants in the US, in Minnesota, Illinois, and Alabama. I do not believe they are made in Wisconsin. And in fact, the Wisconsin litigation that was brought by your state's attorney general is mostly focusing on firefighting foam, as is true with most of the other states as well.
What are you watching for most as this litigation unfolds against 3M?
Well, the financial impact is probably the most important, at least as far as their operations go. They now have billions of dollars that they have to pay, and next year they are going to be spinning off the healthcare unit of 3M into its own company, and that unit accounts for about one quarter of their revenues. So there's going to be less money coming in. There's going to be these PFAS settlement payments that they're going to have to make, and more to come, undoubtedly. And on top of that, they also have, a dividend that they pay to shareholders. Basically, if you own a share of one share of 3M, you get $6 a year, in payment to you. And that's something that they've always increased that dividend every year for 60 some years. So that's another big piece of the financial puzzle that they're going to have to manage, because people count on that dividend. So there's going to be a lot of pressure to maintain it, while at the same time, less money's coming in and more money's going out for these legal settlement payments.
John Kileman with us, reporter at the Wall Street Journal's Chicago Bureau covering American manufacturing. A recent look inside 3M. You can be part of the discussion calling in with a question, sharing your thoughts, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The future of 3M innovation and the fallout over PFAS chemicals, these are aspects of a Wall Street Journal piece about 3M's headwinds. The manufacturing giant operates four Wisconsin plants, and John Kileman covers U.S. manufacturing for the Wall Street Journal's Chicago Bureau. You can join the discussion at any point, calling in with a question, sharing what's on your mind. 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. John, you write about the changing culture and innovation strategy at 3M. How is 3M's innovation strategy different today than when the company was founded more than a century ago?
Well, it has long been their practice to try to introduce a lot of new products, believing that you don't really know what's going to take off until you put it in the marketplace. And that has changed, where they now are trying to be more selective on the front end and taking fewer shots, introducing fewer products, believing that they've sort of marshaled their resources, to get the best chance of success in what they put out there. And some longtime 3M employees say that's not the way to do it, and that it's not working, that you need to, you don't really know what's going to succeed unless you put it out there. And basically, if you take fewer swings at the plate, you're going to get fewer home runs. And the company certainly doesn't agree with that, but that's kind of the heart of the internal tension right now.
So they kind of say, well, look, we're going for quality versus quantity, but there's that competing tension of saying, like, put it all out there and then see what sticks in the marketplace.
Yeah, I mean, I think the old timers expressed to me is that you can think that you are taking quality attempts, but you're just fooling yourself if you think you can outsmart the market.
William McKnight was an early president of the company. What was McKnight's influence?
Enormous. He joined the company in 1907, I think, about 5 years after it got started, and rose to the very top. And what distinguished him was, at a time when workers really were seen as sort of interchangeable cogs that are just supposed to do exactly what they're told to do. He believed in initiative and in people, being given the freedom to pursue their own ideas in service of the company. And one thing that came out of that is still in effect today is what they call 15% time, where you are a researcher is entitled to using 15% of their time to do a project that may have nothing to do with sort of their normal duties. And many, many profitable and important things have come out of that.
I wonder, is that 15% time still valid today? Does that still work today?
It is nominally valid. They say it's valid. The company does. I have heard from people inside the company that it may be a little more difficult to do now than in years past. But at least officially, 15% time is still in effect.
Still alive. You report on other global companies, even Harley-Davidson. Are other giant companies experiencing similar dry spells like 3M?
3M is very unique. It's because they make so many different things and such a broad array of things that I think, I mean, that's always been sort of a challenge for them to kind of explain themselves, particularly to investors. And, for a time, the numbers sort of explained themselves because they were so good. The growth was very robust, and the profit margins were so strong. But when that starts to drop, or the growth is not as strong as it has once been, then they come under more pressure to, here's what we are, here's what we're doing, here's where we're going. And if you look at the share price, which is very depressed now, the message that they are transmitting doesn't seem to be, coming through very strong.
You write about 3M's new innovations that are in the works, and what is 3M's research into electric vehicle technology?
Yeah, this is something that would seem to suit them very well. I mean, they are at their heart a materials company, and they are doing a lot of work into, for example, materials that will help electric vehicle batteries work more efficiently. And that is, anytime they have a call with investors or speaking at a conference or something like that, that's the one area that they always point to. That last year, it grew 30% to hit $500 million in sales. In the overall picture, that's still pretty small, but I mean, they could point to that as an area of very substantial growth. But that is also an area that practically every company under the sun is looking at electric vehicles to get a boost. So that,
That's what I was wondering. I mean, are they entering markets that are congested with a lot of competition for these products?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, electric vehicles are, I cover quite a few companies, and just about all of them point to that as an area for where they're pinning their hopes, because it's new, and there's so much money behind it. They all sort of forecast a lot of growth that's going to come from that sector, and 3M is no different. And then I guess we will see if they're able to maintain that type of growth rate, or if competitors are going to start to nibble away at what they have.
We're talking about the global corporation 3M, its innovations that are coming, and the headwinds it faces. Wall Street Journal reporter John Kileman covers the company and others, manufacturing giants. You can join in the conversation. Your questions are welcome at 800-642-1234. John, we started the conversation about the litigation troubles. And this summer, 3M settled a lawsuit with American military veterans and service members who say they suffered hearing loss from using the company's earplugs. Can you explain what's going on in this lawsuit?
Sure, that was entirely separate from their PFAS litigation. The 3M bought a company, I think, in the 2000s that made these earplugs, and what was special about them was that they were supposed to filter out, really loud noise like explosions and things like that, while still allowing you to hear, someone speaking close by. And the allegation was that they did not work properly, and that people, veterans, suffered hearing damage because of that. 3M disputed that, of course. And they ultimately ended up settling the case on for $6 billion, which was a little better than some analysts expected. And so you saw the stock price climb after that, but now it has sunk again and then some.
So, do you find that there was strain from that lawsuit put on the business?
Well, it's going to be a financial strain, because they're going to have to pay that off over the coming years. And I think anytime you have as much litigation as 3M has been facing, that is a distraction for the top people at the company. Instead of thinking about, how can we, outcompete our peers in electric vehicles, for example, or how can we come out with a new product that nobody has ever seen before? So much of their time is spent dealing with this litigation. It's not spent on how to further their business.
John, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
John Kileman covers U.S. manufacturing for the Wall Street Journal's Chicago Bureau. His article is titled "The Long Dry Spell at One of America's Most Innovative Companies." I'm Kate Archer Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.